All right, open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13 is where we're going to begin today. This is actually, I ran out of time the first service. So if you're in the first service and you're back for this one, good. This is a passage of scripture that I meant to get to 3 weeks ago and I hadn't gotten to yet. And today we're going to start there because I'm getting to it now. I intend to be through with this particular series on the nature of revelation today, but I don't know. We'll see. If you need a Bible, we have some on that table in the back corner. You're welcome to go grab one. It is the same translation I'll be reading from. And if you just need a Bible, take it home with you. If you need to borrow one for now, then read it, put it back, whatever you like to do. But it's yours and free of cost to you, okay? So let me see if I can catch up really quickly. We've been talking about the last couple of weeks. It's the nature of revelation, not the book of Revelation, but on what revelation is. Revelation, you know, is it's the previously unknown, previously hidden secret things of God now made knowable to His sons and daughters through the Holy Spirit. And so revelation is not some mysterious thing that's only reserved for the super spiritual or the super educated or that you have to work real hard to get. Revelation is God speaking to you the truth of who He is in a way that you've never seen or heard before. Last week, I had a baby in this room. If those of you here know that, I mean, I had something in me I didn't realize was in me until the first service, but we pushed and it came out. And so the Lord began to speak. So if you haven't heard that, then go on the website, deeperlifefellowship.com, and there's a page called Messages, and catch up, because the Lord is speaking incredible things. Last week was about the purpose of revelation, and the purpose, it comes from Deuteronomy 28 and 29, where the purpose of revelation is God, He speaks to us about things that we are to know so that we can help a watching world understand better who He is. When God reveals Himself, He reveals Himself as a Father. Revelation is not about us getting information so that we look super spiritual and can use that as leverage against other believers. Revelation is about us seeing more clearly what it is to be sons and daughters of the Father so that we know Him better and we can represent Him better to a watching world. So revelation is not about our power. It's not about our influence or our position. Now, God may give you revelation that brings you influence, but that influence is for you to represent Him to a watching world. It's not for you just to feel important, okay? So what that means is that we need to get out of that whole church culture that starts to follow whoever has the latest, greatest revelation as if they have more power, as if they have more wisdom, as if they are more spiritual than anybody else. So we need to understand that revelation comes from the Lord, and the great news is God is knowable. This revelation is knowable. Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love Him, but He has revealed them to us by His Spirit. God wants to speak to you. If you say, Mark, I'm trying to hear God, I just don't know how He speaks. Well, you know, again, we've talked before, just start reading the Bible, and you just read it, and you may read half the Bible and not understand a thing you read, but then you hit one verse that just clicks, it connects with you, resonates in your spirit. At that moment, God has spoken to you. That's revelation. That's the Holy Spirit causing Scripture to come alive in you. So you can never say again, God doesn't speak to me, because He spoke to you right then. So you dwell on that, chew on that, meditate on that. The word picture of meditation, you know, meditation is not some new thing. It's not an ancient Near Eastern or Far Eastern thing. Meditation comes from Scripture. We're to meditate on the Word of God, what God has said. Meditation, you know, the word picture there is of a cow chewing its cud, you know, over and over and over and over and over and over. And so as you meditate on Scripture, you just kind of roll it around and you chew on it, you meditate it, you just let it become what God wants it to be. Okay, so that's kind of the nature of revelation. Now, I want to show you something. We're going to actually do this today. We're going to get some revelation from the Lord, okay? Paul said, I think in Ephesians, he said, here's what I pray for you. I'm praying for you to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So we're going to pray today that the Lord will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Here's the thing, everybody. We'll see in just a moment, Matthew 13, Jesus talks about having eyes to see and ears to hear. You know, in the book of Revelation, in the book of the revelation of Jesus Christ, in the first three chapters, the angel says, for he who has eyes to see and ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So for those of us who have become sons and daughters of God, we have the equipment to hear God. You can hear God. So we have to get the equipment, but then you got to actually use the equipment. You know, you can go over to Walmart and you can buy a radio today, but just because you've bought that radio and you own the radio doesn't mean you're going to hear anything over it. You got to plug it in and tune it in. You know, right now in this room, everybody be quiet. I want you to listen. Did you hear that? Thousands of radio stations, perhaps. All kinds of things. Radio waves are bouncing back and forth in this room. How many of you heard a radio playing? Okay, we're going to have to talk later, Gabe. Super hearing. That's your superpower. No, right now. Yeah, I didn't mean at any time. Gabe has a superpower. Awesome. So, all right, you have at one time in your life heard a radio playing. Congratulations. Good. All right. So, that's the great thing. Here's the thing. You got to tune it in. Right now, those radio waves are bouncing back and forth, but until we tune into them, we don't hear it. It's not manifest in our reality, and it doesn't change our lives until we tune in. Guys, right now, the Lord is speaking. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is continually speaking to us, but we got to tune in, or else we're not hearing what He's saying, and our lives are not changed by that revelation. So you might have the equipment, but not hear what He's hearing. So there are people, you know, we got to get the equipment by being born again, and then we got to tune it in to the things of the Spirit. All right. So look at Matthew 13. Jesus is speaking here, and in fact, it was interesting how sometimes this equipment works too. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, you know what's interesting? They had, one of the reasons they were religious leaders, I believe, is because they had and demonstrated that they had spiritual equipment. They had spiritual tuners, but they weren't tuned into the right frequency. I mean, I don't think they were, I mean, they weren't born again, but somehow, but you know, it's kind of like this. I believe the prophetic and psychics are like two sides of the same coin. I think it's the same spiritual equipment tuned into two different frequencies. So I'll say it this way. I'll say this. I believe everybody has, how am I going to say this? Because I'm refining what I said early service. So in the early service, just forget all that. No, I believe that all of us, because we're created in the image of God, God has given us spiritual, you know, all analogies break down, so forget about the radio thing. I think God has given all of us the ability to tune in to spiritual realities, but there's only one wavelength that is life, and that's Jesus. I believe psychics can very often be accurate because they are listening to a demonic spiritual frequency. I think the prophetic is accurate because they're listening to a Holy Spirit frequency. So I think the Pharisees, here's the thing, Jesus was telling parables, which means it's a story, para meaning alongside in Greek. It's a story that has a meaning running alongside it. And even the Pharisees got it on some level. Look real quick, Matthew 13 and verse 45. No, not that one. Okay, I saw it earlier, and I read it at the early service, so those of you who took notes, you can see it. But anyway, in one of these scriptures that I'm going to read today, you see where, is it 10? Where the Pharisees said, he's talking about us? That's not it either. We are so formal here. Okay, I'll find it for you here in just a little bit. But when Jesus was speaking, he was given these parables. And anyway, it says that at the end of it, that the Pharisees said, we think he's talking about us. Said even the Pharisees knew he was talking about them. So they perceived on some level Jesus was talking about them. But listen, here's the thing. Watch this. If you don't get the right revelation, this is revelation coming right now. Oh, I like it. All right, here's the thing. Where is it, Doug? 21:45, because we're in that chapter later. Okay, flip over there real quick, Matthew 21. I knew it was a verse 45 in some chapter in Matthew. Matthew 21:45, when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they knew he was speaking about them. Although they were looking for a way to arrest him, they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. Now watch, let me tell you something. I mentioned this already. Revelation is about God revealing who? Himself, right? He's revealing himself as a father. Here's what an orphan does. An orphan takes that same revelation where God's talking about himself, and an orphan thinks it's about them. See, the Pharisees had orphan hearts, and he knew Jesus was speaking about them. Well, not really. He was speaking about the Father. Now, he was talking about how the Pharisees and the Israelites had treated the prophets. He had just finished a parable talking about how they had treated the prophets, how they were not receiving the Son of God. But the thing is, even so, Jesus, the real revelation has to do with the Father. But orphans think it's about them. See, that's why you have people with orphan hearts that make revelation they get from God, they make it about their ministry, about their influence, about why? Because their orphan heart. See, orphans, everybody, are self-referential. Everything comes back to them. Orphans refer everything to themselves. Now, again, what we've said before is an orphan is somebody who thinks that it's up to them to provide for themselves, to promote themselves, and to protect themselves. They don't realize, now see, again, you can be adopted by God, you can be a son of God, but live like an orphan if you don't believe and trust that you have a father who will provide for you, protect you, and promote you in his way, in his time. But if you choose to take those things on yourself, even though you're a son, you live like an orphan. And if you live like an orphan, you don't get the blessing of being a son in the house. You might as well be an orphan. You're not, but you might as well be. See, because you're not enjoying the benefits of sonship. All right, go back to Matthew 13. Okay, so here's what Jesus said about revelation. Matthew 13, verse 10. Then the disciples came up and asked him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know." Yo, this is before Pentecost. This is before the Holy Spirit came to indwell them. "Been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. For this reason I speak to them in parables, because looking they do not see, and hearing they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, 'You will listen and listen, yet never understand, and you will look and look, yet never perceive. For this people's heart has grown callous, their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would cure them.' For your eyes are blessed because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. For he who has eyes to see and ears to hear, let him see and hear. It is possible to have eyes to see and ears to hear and not be seeing and hearing." And so revelation is for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, but they're not seeing. You ever talk to parents, you ever had your kids, you feel like you've said they have selective listening? They just hear what they want to hear? Kids, you ever said that about your parents? All right. We all know people who have what we call selective hearing. They just hear what they want to hear. At least it seems that way. And so it's possible to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and not get revelation, to not be hearing God. So Jesus said, here's the thing. I've given you guys eyes to see and ears to hear. And again, this is before Pentecost, before the Holy Spirit came. And so I think there's this corporate anointing. I believe Jesus carried an atmosphere of heaven with him as heaven on earth that allowed the disciples to get in on that atmosphere. It's the same thing that happened in Luke 10, where he sent out the 70 and said, "Go preach and heal the sick and raise the dead, cleanse the leper," all this stuff. Cast out demons. That was before they had the Holy Spirit in them, but I believe Jesus in this atmosphere gave them this corporate anointing to go do what he had the authority to do. He gave it to them. They went and did it. I believe the disciples, because he says to the disciples, listen, it has been given for you to know the secret things of God. God is not keeping secrets because he's playing games. It's just that he's revealing himself to people who want to see him. God is revealing himself as Father to those who really want to see him. And I'm telling you, when God begins to do that, it explodes. It begins to multiply. Why? Because he who has, more will be given. See, so if you want to, you say, Mark, God's not speaking to me. Well, okay, do this. Again, we've said this before, just start reading in the New Testament. Start reading in Matthew. Start reading in John. Start reading in Psalms. Read in the Old Testament. Just start reading somewhere and say, God, I'm just going to read until I hear you speak to me. If you read the whole book, you don't hear anything, go to the next one. Go to the next one. Go to Ephesians. Go to Philippians. But when, as you're reading, you might not understand a whole lot about what you're reading, but as you read, there's going to be one moment where the Holy Spirit is going to cause a verse to rise up in you, and it's going to connect with you, and it's going to sound like it was written just for you. And when you hit that, stop and rest there. Settle on that. Meditate on it. Hover around that passage of Scripture. It may be a paragraph that's about you. And so when you hear the Lord speaking to you, listen, at that point, rejoice. God just spoke to you. You just got revelation. Congratulations. The hidden things of God are for you to know. That's good news. You can know. See, God wants those things to be known by you. He is knowable and his truths are knowable. All right. Okay, we're going to do this. Let's just jump into it. Go to Luke chapter 14. We're going to see some revelation. Here's how we're going to do it. Pastor Neil, would you come get one of these microphones for me, please, sir? And Luke, we're going to use both of these. Andrew, come be our other mic man, please. Let y'all just kind of divide up the room here. Yeah, like the old Phil Donahue show. This one is the yellow one, okay? Is that one on there? White one? All right, what I want y'all to do is just kind of keep an eye out for whoever has. Here's what we're going to do about it. I'm going to pray for you. We're going to ask the Lord to give us some revelation. And then we're going to read some scripture, and I want you to tell me what the Lord is saying to you about it. But here's what I want you to do. Watch. A few months ago, I had to get a new pair of glasses. And for the first time in my life, I had to get bifocals. I know. I don't look nearly that old. I got bifocals. You know what bifocals are? It's a pair of glasses with two sets of lenses. It allows me to see up close and allows me to see far away. Listen, here's what's happened here at Deeper Life. The Lord has given us recently a set of spectacles with two different lenses so that we look, it's glasses. That's what spectacles are, for those of you who don't. So, now I sound old. So here's the thing. The Lord has begun to speak to us in the past number of years about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. The rule and reign of God is here. It's available. God is here. Let the brokenhearted rejoice. He's ready to move in this realm. We have the opportunity and the authority to bring heaven to earth. Okay. Also, we're learning about sonship. We are no longer orphans. We are sons and daughters of God. He provides for us. We trust him. We rest in his provision, protection, promotion, pleasure, all that. So those are kind of two lenses with which I want you to look through to see these scriptures, okay? So, Father, right now in this place, Lord, we're relying on you. Lord, we don't want to just rely on our own wisdom or maybe even anything that we've been taught before. God, we ask you just to sweep the decks. Make it clean. Let's start with a clean board here. Father, would you speak to us anew and reveal yourself to us in these things? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Luke 14. We're going to start you with an easy one, okay? This one is not hard. Luke 14, verse 7. Jesus had been invited to a Pharisee's house for dinner. And this Pharisee invited a bunch of other people because Jesus was a notable celebrity at the time, and people were coming in, and so Jesus was watching how everybody was handling themselves as they came to the dinner. So look at verse 7. He told a parable to those who were invited when he noticed how they would choose the best places for themselves. When you're invited by someone to a wedding banquet, don't recline at the best place, because a more distinguished person than you may have been invited by your host. The one who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give your place to this man." Then in humiliation, you will proceed to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go and recline in the lowest place so that when the one who invited you comes, he will say to you, "Friend, move up higher." You will then be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay, let's stop right there for a moment. All right, now, just think about that as the Lord is speaking to you. God may have already been giving you some revelation, even as we read it. Again, guys, not looking for just, you know, here's what I've heard taught on this before. But with those lenses, what do you see? Just anybody. Now, let us come to you with a microphone so that, because we have people all over the country now that are listening to our messages online, and we want them to hear what you're saying. But I want you to see, revelation is for you. It's coming up in you. Okay, so you don't have to fix your hair, Stephanie, but it's just audio. Okay, so, all right, okay. Who's got something? All right, Libby.
We learned that we don't have an orphan spirit when we're able to let God be our promotion, our provision, our protection. And so it's easy for us to wait for God to tell us if it's our time to be honored or not.
Absolutely. Amen. Okay, everybody, you get this? Now watch. You know what this parable is about? How many of you ever read this before and thought it was Jesus just being, you know, Mr. Etiquette of the first century? Here's how you comport yourselves appropriately at a banquet.
Now,
yeah, if you've got a heading in your Bible, Jesus teaches about humility. It is more than that. It's not just teaching about humility, because I'll tell you why. Now watch this. Listen, here's what this parable is about. It's about self-promotion. It's about the orphan heart of self-promotion. Somebody who says, my sense of significance and worth comes from how important I am perceived by others. See, and so here's the thing. It's not about humility, because you tell people, okay, watch this. I didn't get this first. Here's why it's not just about humility. An orphan will read this and say, okay, if that's what I've got to do to get promoted, I'll do it. But the orphan, grumbling in his heart, manipulates, see, and has a plan. Okay, Jesus says, here's how you get promoted. You got to take the lowest seat, and then they'll ask you to come up. So they take the lowest seat, and if the host doesn't ask them to move into a place of honor, what happens? They're mad, they're angry, they're resentful, they didn't get it. And they try to get even. That's not what Jesus was shooting for. Really? Why is it, though? What allows us to take a lower place with peace and rest? The security of knowing we are sons of God. Listen, I'm a son. I'm a daughter of God. What more do I need? What can any man offer me in the way of recognition that's better than that? I'm a son of God. What else do I need? And so I'm fine. Listen, put me at the kids' table on Thanksgiving. I'm fine. See, that's what this is. Put me at the kiddie table. I'm good. I don't need to be at the head table. I don't need the recognition to know that I'm important. I'm a son of God. And so let somebody else get promoted. Man, they need that more than I do. God bless them. We rejoice when they're promoted. See, and we thank God for that. Man, would you let somebody else get that? I don't need this. Isn't that awesome? I love that. Yeah, Melissa.
I'm just kidding. Oh, sorry about that. Looking at that last verse where it says, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who mm-hmm. humbles himself will be exalted. You talked about significance. And what I'm getting is, if we try to exalt ourselves and make our life significant, we're going to fail ultimately. But if
Absolutely.
We will humble ourselves, God's going to raise us up, and he's going to make us significant.
Yeah. Listen, you try to exalt yourself, and you're just setting yourself up for falling. It's not going to work. See, I love that. Isn't that good? So see, the parable is not about how to get people to notice you and ask you to move to a better place. But see, the orphan, being self-referential, will say, okay, this shows me how to get into power. Okay, so we have all these Machiavellian kind of labyrinthine plans. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to manipulate. I'm going to look like I don't care, but I really do, so that they will move me up. I win. Please, I mean, just watch The Godfather. That doesn't work. So, okay, don't really watch Godfather's rated R. I'm not recommending that. I don't want to get letters. Okay, so that's how that is. Okay, good. Renee?
It reminds me of the verse that says, he who shall be last will be first, and the first will be last. And I think God wants us to be content that if we are last, that our contentment is in him and not in who we think we are or should be, and he's going to take care of all that. He just wants us to be content in him.
Absolutely. See, it's about, Andrew's about this. See, it's about our security in him, who we know, who God has said we are. See, guys, see the difference between orphans and sons? That's what this parable is about. Yeah, Andrea?
Okay, I don't have any addresses, but Jesus said, as he is, so are we. Mm-hmm. I think he's showing us to do like he did when it says that being equal with God, he came here and took a lowly position.
Yeah.
And ended up at the right hand of the Father and had no problem with his identity over that or wondering if he was going to get exalted or anything.
Yeah,
you know,
I love
even,
that.
Even aside from the promotion, it's still seeing Jesus in that, that he came and took the lowest place and still conquered everything.
Absolutely.
And didn't have to be concerned about the opinions of the men around him.
Philippians 2, and Jesus, he did not, even though he was God, he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. See, that's what he, why? He was a son. Now, you understand in Matthew 4, I'm not talking about all this today, it was written about, in Matthew 4, the temptation in the wilderness, when Satan said, if you are really the Son of God, make this stone bread, the temptation was not, if you're really the Son of God, prove that you can do something, a miracle. The temptation was, if you are truly a son. See, what the challenge was, if you're really the son, then do this. And Jesus' response was, hey, it's because I am a son, I don't have to do that. I trust the Father. He's going to feed me when he's ready. Yeah, I'm hungry. Father will feed me. He's going to take care of me. He's not going to let me die. I got a lot going on here. I got more to do. I trust the Father to fulfill my assignment, and we're going to get this thing done. Yeah, Jasmine?
Well, every time I hear things like this, I think of the widow. She didn't have that much money, but she just gave it, and she was real quiet about it. And,
yeah.
And then Jesus pointed out, like, she just gave everything, you know, and she didn't want recognition. She just did it because it was right and it was good. And,
yes.
Or, you know, it's what was in her heart, so that made me think of
it. Absolutely. Amen. See, I love that. All right, guys, let me tell you what's happening here. Do you see what's happening? Revelation's starting to bubble up. It's bubbling up. Why? Because those who have more is given. See, we're asking God for revelation, so he's giving us more. Listen, all you guys are saying stuff that I had not planned on saying when I came in today. So it's not about me showing up and teaching you what you need to know. This is about, all we're doing is just facilitating. I'm just trying to be an equipping teacher today. An equipping pastor, so that you can see you can do this yourself. You have the same God. All right, you want to do another one? Turn to Matthew 21. Told you we were going to get there. Matthew 21. I've got a whole list of these here. I don't know if we're going to get to them all today, but we'll see what happens. Let's see here. Matthew 21, verse 28. Okay, we talked about this briefly in one of our Wednesday night sessions a few weeks ago. So if you were there on Wednesday night or you were there early service today, hold back a little bit on this, okay? We'll see if the Lord will speak to some others about this. But I love this, and we just had to revisit it again because it's just awesome. Jesus is speaking. Now again, remember, later in this story you see that the Pharisees determined he was talking about them. And he kind of was. Jesus, remember, one of the first things we've got to ask ourselves is, what time is it when you're reading the Bible? What's happening on the timeline? Where is this happening in history? And where Jesus is, he's talking to the Pharisees, who are the religious leaders of Israel, who were waiting for the Messiah to come. They didn't think it was him. And so they were rejecting him. So anyway, okay. All right, verse 28. But what do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, my son, go work in the vineyard today. And he answered, I don't want to. Yet later he changed his mind and went. Then the man went to the other and said the same thing. I will, sir, he answered, but he didn't go. Which of the two did his father's will? The first, they said. Jesus said to them, I assure you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you didn't believe him. Tax collectors and prostitutes did believe him, but you, when you saw it, didn't even change your minds then and believe him. All right. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you for just a moment here. You're ready? Let me know what you're seeing. All right. David, then Brenda. All right, Dave.
It said in John 13 that Jesus, knowing all authority had been given to him by the Father, took off his garments and proceeded to wash the disciples' feet.
Mm-hmm.
Only Jesus both said yes and did yes.
Mm, that's good. That is good.
There are those of us who, I mean, with a, in our orphan spirits, someone tells us to do something, our first instinct is, no, I don't wanna.
Yeah.
These were who Jesus talked about, the prostitutes and tax collectors. Then there are the passive aggressive who get off my case, I will tell you I will, and then I will go off and do what I want anyway.
That's exactly right. Okay.
So both sets come from an orphan heart. So
yes.
He's talking about everybody. Now, ultimately, we go back to our previous parable, those who humble themselves, who place themselves in the humble position in life, God then sees their true desire for obedience and promotes them within the kingdom. So the two are related through the lens of sonship.
That's good. Good, David. I think you're right. I think for one thing, Jesus, as you said, Jesus is the only one who Neil, Charles, right behind you, but Jesus is the only one who began in obedience and finished in obedience. Even if we finish in obedience, we began in rebellion. But the second son began in rebellion and finished in rebellion, even though he talked like he was being obedient. That's good. I like it. Charles, oh, I'm sorry, hang on a second. Let's get Brenda. Sorry, go ahead, Brenda. I'm trying to remember the order here. Sorry.
That's okay. When I read it, God just spoke to my heart about obedience because Jesus asked the question. He said, which of the two did what his father wanted? And I don't think either one of them did because the older son, his obedience was delayed. He had to think about it. And I just felt the Lord just speaking that real obedience to God isn't delayed. He's our Father. He's our Lord. And that when he prompts us to do something, if we're really walking in obedience, we don't have to go think about it. We just do it.
You know what? I think ideally, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. However, here's the thing, though. And here's what I've preached this before, too, because I've heard it said, and I thought it sounded good. Delayed obedience is disobedience. But I don't really agree with that anymore because I really think in that interval of time, delayed obedience, when the obedience isn't happening, you're in disobedience for sure, no doubt. But I think at the moment you begin to do what the Father says, now you're moving in obedience, even if it was delayed. So I think you're right in this sense, Brenda. I think in that interval of time, it's disobedience. But then, man, isn't this great? Isn't this the wonderful part of the grace of God? God takes us out of our obedience and moves us into full obedience. So I think we do live in obedience. Ideally, I think we should obey quickly. I agree, absolutely. But I do think that he did move in. I think he was obedient. It just took him a little while to get there, which gives me great comfort. Gives me great comfort to my spirit to know that even if it takes me a while to get there, God still receives my obedience to him. So that's good. I like that. Good, Charles?
Well, the way I was looking at this is the first son actually was the honest one.
Good.
He said, I will not.
Yeah.
But then later on, I was like, oh, wow, you know what? I really should go do this. The second one, to me, I think was the one with the orphan heart because he gave the answer his father wanted him to hear.
Absolutely.
But ended up disobedience twice because I think he gave the answer he wanted to hear, then he didn't go do it at all.
All right.
He didn't keep his word. And it made me go back to what Jesus said, let your yes be yes and let your no be no.
Excellent, Charles. That is spot on. Here's why. Let me say this, and Tiffany, hold that thought. Here's the thing about this. Again, we're looking at this orphan heart deal. Orphans are self-referential. So the second son was more concerned about what the father thought about him than actually doing it. He wanted to look like he was being a good son, but he was in disobedience. The first son, though, is the one who had the relationship with the father that allowed him to be honest enough to say, Dad, I don't want to do that. I don't want to. But I love the fact that there was a security in his relationship with the father that allowed him to be honest about what he didn't want to do. After the first service, my sister, Debbie, came up to me as she was leaving. She said, great. She said, I love that. She said, the Lord had been speaking to me about somewhere that he wanted me to go this afternoon. I didn't want to go. She said, now I'm going. All right, then. Good. Church changes lives. So, this is part of, I think, Charles, you hit it right on the head there. The second son was concerned about what the father thought. But so here's what this tells me. Here's what I think. I believe also, and Tiffany, I'm coming to you. I believe that you know what I think the first son chose? I think ultimately what he chose, watch, I don't believe this is the revelation of the father, is not really about, I'm getting there. All right. It's still, watch this, it is still our orphan hearts that make the issue obedience. But it's not. It's fellowship with the Father. See, what the first son chose was unbroken fellowship with the Father through obedience. You see? What the second son chose passive-aggressively was broken fellowship with the Father when the Father found out that the son didn't obey him. Now that fellowship is broken. It's hindered, right? So it's still our orphan hearts that make it about what we do and don't do. God forbid. See, isn't it good when the Lord still reveals? All right, we think we're getting the sonship thing, and in the middle of talking about it, he shows us a level deeper how we still got an orphan heart. So it's not about what we do and don't do. It's about fellowship with the Father. Hang on, Tiffany, then Andrea, then Marianne. You can come on over, Andrew, and get Marianne. See, now it's bubbling up. I love this. All right, Tiffany, what you got?
It is about relationship that we've been learning about culture of honor in ARC, and is for freedom that Christ set us free. So he says to one son, will you do this? And the other son, will you do this? And then he doesn't make us. He made us free. He wants to invite us into the process.
They're both invited.
But he doesn't make us. Yeah. It's about relationship. Will we put our relationship with him first?
Uh-huh.
Whether we want to do it or we don't want to do it, we want relationship with him. So we'll do what if you love me, you will do as I command. Yeah, of course we will. We want to live in right relationship with him.
Good. Amen. All right. Marianne and then Andrea. Good.
In this one, I think it's fortunate then the rest of verse 31, it says, then Jesus explained his meaning. And that gives us a little insight into actually what Jesus' purpose was.
Yeah, right.
This.
Yeah.
And again, it goes back to what other people said. It's all about a heart issue, I think, is what he's trying to portray here. Because it's like the whole thing of man looks on the outside, but God looks on the heart. And he's trying to shock them because he's talking to the Pharisees. And he's trying to shock them into saying, look, even the tax collectors and prostitutes, they're receiving this message. They're engaging in this relationship with God that you're not getting. So again, like you said, we try to make it about obedience, how quickly or not doing it at all or whatever, but it's all about that relationship, that heart issue.
All right, and to this point, here's the thing, guys, and this is a transition that I'm hoping that we're all making in our walk with the Lord, is to not artificially read the Bible from a devotional mindset. Does that make sense? You can't just read everything in the Bible devotionally and say, okay, what does this mean for me today about... Because that's how we get orphan formulas. We got to read the Bible and say, okay, what is this saying about Jesus? It's a Christocentric, Christ-centered. How does this reveal Jesus? And how is he revealing the Father? And how does the revelation of God as Father impact my life? How now do I respond... How do I live in response to the revelation of the fatherhood of God to me? Does that make sense? We got to make otherwise a self-referential orphan heart. If we read it and say, okay, how should I act today? And this is where, and again, Brenda, your point is excellent. See, here's the thing too. I used to say delayed obedience, disobedience. But now I realize it's not about how quickly I obey. And so if it's not about my obedience, that frees me up then to obey right away, out of relationship, out of fellowship. And I actually become more obedient, but God is not shooting for our obedience. What he's looking for is a heart that wants to know him. And that's reflected in how we live. See, again, it's all tied in. Okay, Andrea?
I really was going to say what you and Mary Ann said. That I was looking at Jesus' explanation and saying the point he was making to them was it wasn't the obedience or the behavior, it was what was offered. Oh. And the offered, what was offered was based on him.
Ooh,
and what
okay.
they received, what, oh. you know, their behavior sucked, mm. and yet they entered the kingdom and got more revelation.
Yeah.
And oh. the Pharisees hated that.
All right, then. Okay, there's more. Oh, look. Okay, now watch this. We just finished this video series with Dudley Hall on Show Us the Father. And one of the things he said there, Lydia, we're coming to you. One of the things he said that Dudley taught us was this. That as sons, one of the things we're offered is partnership with presence. Like Adam was in the garden. We're offered the ability, the opportunity to partner with God with his presence, guaranteeing our successful partnership with him. Go, subdue the earth. Go, name the animals. Go, Adam, do it. We are offered as sons, what we get with that is partnership with presence. So one other thing this is about is what's being offered that the Pharisees, the orphans, are missing out on because they are so concerned with what people think about them. They're missing out on the whole event of working in the vineyard. They say yes, they don't get in the relationships. Jesus said, you remember we said the Pharisees in another scripture? He said, you know what you guys are doing? You lock up the kingdom of God and you don't let anybody else get in either. They're not letting. See, and so the kingdom of God is all about this whole partnership with God, bringing heaven to earth, praying for people at gas pumps, and seeing God touch hearts and change lives. That's partnership with presence. But the orphans are missing it because they think it's about them. Lydia, go ahead. This gets fun.
One thing that I noticed was when it said, I tell you, even the tax collectors and the prostitutes are coming to the kingdom of God before you are. It's just like one of the things, God never looks at your past when you come to him. He doesn't. When he sees you, you're clean and your heart is clean. And he just sees how much he loves you.
Yeah.
And how you're his son or you're his daughter. And so it really just shows that it doesn't matter what your past has been. Or if you've said, like, I'm not going to do it. But you do change your mind. Like if you start off your life and you just want nothing to do with God ever. And then you come back and you're just so passionate about him and you love him with this just fire with him.
That's
but
good.
It just never goes away. And it doesn't matter where you've been, but if you obey, that's what God's looking at. It's all the yes or no.
That's good. Absolutely. Absolutely right. Listen, I think that's part of the deal too. He's saying to the Pharisees, you know, even prostitutes. And he said, you didn't change your mind when you heard the news. But these people who were in rebellion, as David said, they were in rebellion, but now they're in obedience because they changed the way they were thinking, which is what repent means. Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of God is here, repent. Change the way you're thinking about what a relationship with God is about the covenant, because now here's what it is. And so you're exactly right. Jesus said, listen, they're hearing this message, Mary said, and even the prostitutes and tax collectors whose past you don't even want to talk about, but they get in. Because now they're getting new lives. That's awesome. Good. Carolyn?
It just hit me more about my relationship with my children. When you said it's not about obedience, it's about relationship. And I noticed with my 7-year-old, I'm trying to make her obey me.
Yeah.
And then I'm not focusing on my relationship with her. That just, I got a heat wave when
wow.
that was said. So that spoke to me.
Thank God, thank God, thank God. Okay, everybody, listen. If we met today for this whole service, for that one moment of life-changing revelation, that is the voice of God changing a family. Amen? It's worth it all. Woo! Thank God. That's why we do this stuff. So, so it's not about me teaching you, saying, everybody remember this, take your notes. It's about Carolyn hearing from God about her as he reveals himself as a father. See, that probably didn't feel bad to hear that from the Lord. It's when God reveals our orphan heart, it frees us up. Guys, that's not something I ever regret when the Lord reveals where I was an orphan. I just thank God I don't have to live in that anymore. Awesome. Good. Lisa?
I don't know if I'm going to get this out right or not, but what I got is a matter of trust. Because if you have two sons and you ask them both to do the same thing, one says no, he's being honest, he doesn't want to do it. The other one says yes, he doesn't, you know, and he doesn't do it. Which one are you going to trust next time you ask somebody to do something? Are you going to go back to the one that said yes and never showed up, or are you going to go back to the...
Absolutely. So God, although, watch this. That's great, Lisa. Even though God is not evaluating us based on our obedience, He is watching our responses. And so I think that's what Jesus meant when He said, for those who have, more will be given to them. Absolutely. So let me say this last thing, and we're going to pray and be dismissed. But isn't it cool? I guarantee we could go another hour like this easy, just on this parable. And I have a list of about six more that I just want to touch on today. We're not going to get to. But let me say this about this one, and we'll pray. I love it. Again, what I want you to get, guys, is the experience of having heard from the Lord. How many of you saw or heard something from in here today about that you have never thought of like that before? Let me see your hands. All right, almost everybody in here. Okay, here's what this means. One of the ways that God speaks to us and gives us revelation is through His people. God speaks to us through one another. Another reason why it's so important for us to gather and talk and discuss and pray with one another, because God speaks to us through each other. Here's what I want you to see about this parable, though, and we'll pray. Here's something I love about this. We do have to remember, for a period of time, you know, this is about one son who didn't have a mask on before the father. He was real. He was honest. He said, I don't want to do it, but he went and did it. There's another son who was wearing a mask, wanted to look like he was obedient, look like the good son. Listen, everybody, for a period of time, it looked like the first son was bad and the second son was good. To everybody who might have been looking on in that situation, it appeared that the second son was a good son, the first son was a bad son. So my encouragement to you, don't let appearances fool you. Don't evaluate anyone based on how obedient or how faithful they look like they are. Listen, what happened was that for a while it looked like it was the other way around. But then eventually their hearts were exposed. Listen, hearts will always get exposed. The hearts will always show up. And so let's just give God time. Now what that also means is you may see somebody that you kind of see behind the mask, and you may know that they're saying that they're obeying God, but they're not really living like it. Listen, let me just say this to you. Just wait. Just wait. The Lord will expose their heart. God will do it. He will set that right. And the ones who look like they're not obeying God, but their heart is for Him, wait. Love them. Encourage them. Don't count them out. You know, I remember when Ted Haggard there was a moral scandal a few years ago, and we talked about that here because Ted's a friend of mine, and we said, well, listen, you know, we want people to finish well. And people were saying, well, Ted hadn't finished well. One of the things we realized was this: he hadn't finished yet. See, so whoever you look at in your life, you think, oh, they didn't finish well. Well, unless they're dead, they're not finished yet. And so let's love them and encourage them and bring them on. Listen, there are people that I can think of right now that I know that are in that place of trying to decide whether or not they want that unbroken fellowship with the Father. And it's my job to give them time, to love them, let the Lord deal with their heart, but I need to be there to be the voice of God to them. As the Father reveals how He loves me, it's my job to love them and yours. Okay, is that good? All right, guys, today is about getting your equipment. Today is like the day when Neil probably went in the Marines, and there was a day when you gave they gave you your weapons, right? That's what today is. Today you went through the arsenal, and hopefully some of you came out armed with something you didn't have before, which is the wisdom, the ability to know God wants and is continually revealing the deep hidden things for you to know. But He's going to reveal Himself to you as Father. Sometimes we got to work through our self-referential orphan lenses. We got to work through that, start seeing it as sons, and begin to move in freedom. Amen? All right, stand up with me if you would. Let's pray. I'm going to ask our prayer team members, those who are here today, if you would come, just make yourself available for prayer. I know that anytime we gather, at any given time, there are people who come to church on a Sunday morning, and no matter what is sung, no matter what is prayed for, there are people who show up who come to church hoping somebody will pray for them. I know at any given time, there's always somebody who says, you know what, I'm going to go today, And I sure hope I get a chance to be prayed for because I need somebody to pray with me. And so we have some prayer team members that are available to pray with you. So at the end of this service today, whether it was a response to something we've talked about, or if this is just something you want somebody to agree with you and pray with you about, please come take one of these by the hand and let them pray with you and bring the reality of heaven to earth in your life, okay? Father, thank you for this time. Lord, thank you for speaking. Thank you for opening our eyes and our ears. Now, Lord, I pray that you would multiply that. Father, that you would continue to expand the revelation that you've given us and let it grow into more revelation. Let us now, who have received some, get more. Lord, we bless you. We love you. We look to you, and we need you more than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.